And welcome back to News Radio KMAN in Focus. Here with Brady Bowman, I got three state lawmakers here. I got State Senator Tom Hawk of Manhattan, State Representative Tom Phillips of Manhattan, and State Representative Sidney Carlin of Manhattan. We do have another phone call. Caller, you're on in Focus. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to know how many of these folks on your program here have served in the military.
Is that your only question?
No, there's going to be some more to it here.
Well, go ahead and give us your follow-up, we'll answer them all at once.
Yeah, okay. We're talking about inanimate objects here, folks. Now, the problem I see is not the weaponry. That's part of it, but the fact of the matter is, when I was 17 years old, I was issued a weapon in the military. I got out of 20 years old, but according to what you guys are talking about, I couldn't even get a weapon today at 20 years old. Now, the problem I see, and it's going to be hard to do, is the behavior change. There's a good book out called Assassination Generation, which makes a hell of a point on these video games, these violent video games, which, in fact, a lot of people, a lot of these shooters in these schools all over the world have been addicted to those violent video games. Until we learn how to change the behavior of people, you're still going to have the same damn stuff going on. People are going to get shot. I'm telling you right now. So you guys, go ahead and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
I'd weigh in on that just one point. I could talk about several points there, but I have been very concerned ever since Columbine about video games, chat rooms, the possibility of someone outside of our, outside of our realm being able to influence kids over the internet through the chat rooms. And, you know, we know that suicides have been caused by conversations with people online that you don't know, telling them how to do things and getting them talked into it, telling them to shut the door so their parents won't hear. And we've got information like that. And I've been very concerned that that kind of influence is affecting some of these shooters. And the military training that you received was not one 8-hour class, and we don't even require that anymore. And the weapons you used in the military were designed to annihilate whatever it hits, and that's what these AR-15s are doing. And that's why one teacher with a gun or one guard with a gun that they can carry around and be on a school campus just doesn't compete with something that can shoot from many, many feet away and just have devastating effects. And this is what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a pistol anymore. It's not a pistol. It's automatic weapons.
And just real quick, I think you also want to know if you served in the military or not.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I did not. When I was raised, women weren't serving except as nurses in the military, and it's been a few years. And I applaud those that do that. And I think most of them, including Fort Riley, you know, you don't carry a gun on Fort Riley. They understand weapons in a different way than some of our public does.
This is Tom Phillips. I have not served in the military, and I think before we get too far afield, and the bill that was being discussed in the legislature was the ability to arm teachers, and there has been no talk in the legislature about restricting gun ownership and things of that nature. So we probably ought to stay focused on what was contemplated in the bill. The comment about, you know, I think he said assassination generation and video games, from my perspective, and this is not a greatly informed opinion, but it's my opinion, I think there's some validity to this idea that these constant interaction with video games does have some adverse impact. Probably not universally true to everybody that plays them, but for certain individuals that based on the amount and length of time and their the individual situation, it may have an adverse impact. And it's something we probably ought to be thinking about, and certainly parents need to be aware of it.
Tom,
so, back to the military question. I was in ROTC, Air Force, proud member of that, not technically serving in the military, but learned a lot about the military and really enjoyed what I learned about that. I think the caller raises a very important issue that points out how complicated this is, and there's not one solution. Our school board sent, I think all of us as a legislative delegation as well as a congressional delegation, a very well-written letter that pointed out that it's going to take parents, it's going to take the right kind of laws, not just in terms of some of the hardening things, but the soft things relative to schools and having money available to do the security measures with entrances, which I think we've done a good job in the Manhattan School District on that, but also having enough social workers and counselors and changing the whole climate. So some of these kids that actually get disenfranchised or bullied in school seem to be the ones that come and act out for some reason, and making sure that we don't let those kids get disconnected. That's one small piece of it. And I happened to be at Columbine the year after that shooting that occurred, I think, in 1988 or 89, and heard the students who got shot, who came back as graduation speakers the year after that. One of them had connections with Manhattan and was one of the students that rolled himself out of the window of the library, so he was not killed and got seriously wounded. And I think that just raised an important thing about how much we need to make sure that we meet kids, both parents at home, in the culture, and that we also look at sensible regulation so they can't easily acquire those weapons.
Because that is an important point that I think that does keep getting missed in this whole discussion, especially if we want to talk about the Parkland shooting in Florida, is that this was a teenager that went to a shop, bought it off the shelf, walked out. And it seems like I don't understand why we don't want to talk about how we make that a little bit more of a process in a way, just in the same way that you can't buy a car without a license, you can't buy a car without a tag, you can't buy a car without having insurance yourself. There's a lot of different, for some things we do have some regulations for. That doesn't mean you can't buy a car, it just means you got to do a little bit of work if you're going to do one. And it seems like from some perspectives, that's a perspective that's for some reason not being afraid, not being talked about, and people are really afraid to talk about. Do we have a phone call?
Yes, we do.
Okay, let's go ahead and take it.
Good morning.
Cool. I got a couple of points. The other day I called in and I mentioned the difference between semi-automatics, automatics, bolt actions, and you guys had a gal call in and said I was spewing NRA talking points. Well, I'm not an NRA member. I am a gun owner. But I think when we need to talk about the guns, we need to know what we're talking about. Now, she just mentioned automatic weapons. They're not automatic weapons. There are automatic weapons, but you need to have a special license for them. When you buy a gun, you fill out background papers. They go to, then before you can walk out, that your background check has to be approved. It doesn't matter what state you're in. So if we want to talk about that stuff, you have to know what you're talking about. And when you guys are talking about the teachers not wanting to be security guards, if there's a fight that breaks out, we expect them to break up the fight. If there's a shooter that comes in, guys, if I was a parent, and I am a parent of five, and if there's a shooter at that school, I expect that teacher to step in front of the gun before that student takes a bullet. And, you know, at Wamego, we had a gun threat called in. How many parents would run to the school and grab their kids? Well, I went to the school and I helped patrol it. That's how we stop it. We don't live in fear. We stop it. And we need to
figure really out
how to stop it.
To me, it seems like we are living in some fear. And a quick question on that, with what you said. You say that teachers should be able to step in front of a bullet if they need to. So with that, do you think they should get paid a little bit more?
You know, if that's what it comes down to, absolutely.
Because that's a lot of risk.
Well, isn't it a risk breaking up a fight?
Some military-grade weapons is kind of two different things, wouldn't you say?
Military-grade weapons. What do you call in a military-grade weapon? Are you talking about
the AR-15s based off of M16?
Or are you talking about the caliper? The caliber of the gun? Are you talking about the actions? Are you talking about the cosmetics?
Well, we're kind of getting into the weeds there a little bit when it's really talking about teachers. And again, like when you look at teachers and pay, which we'll get to that after this next break, we'll talk a little bit about school finance, kind of move along a little bit. But caller, thanks for your call. Let's go ahead and go to that break. More in focus coming up.